Federal officials say a Russian cyber attack on the U.S. power grid last year did not endanger nuclear power plants.
Officials with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission say those nuclear plants are designed to be islands and not connected to the Internet or other networks. So while the 2017 cyber attack was able to breach some corporate networks, the power plants themselves were never in danger. One industry group says this proves those plants can withstand state-sponsored attacks.
That's correspondent Wally Hines reporting. The demise of Toys R Us is going to have a ripple effect on other industries, according to analysts. The 70-year-old retailer is headed toward shuttering all of its U.S. operations, and the analysts say that could jeopardize not only the jobs of some 30,000 employees, as 740 U.S. stores are closed, it could also affect everything from other toy makers and others in the industry, as well as landlords who are used to renting out their sites to Toys R Us. More details on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Being Found Show. We're your guide, Being Found, by more buying customers, not just customers. We don't just want people running in and out of your building. We want them to buy. If your company isn't being found, then whose is? Let's face it, your customers are using the Internet. They're using the Internet to buy. They're using the Internet to shop. They're using the Internet to find out even when you're open or when your competitors are open. So this show is designed to help you be found. I'm your host, Cloudwise Joe, with my co-host, Chauncey Haworth. What's happening,
Good
Chauncey?
Good morning. Good morning.
Anyone who's listened to this show more than once, which I don't know if that's anybody at all, knows that we've
gets
been
working... Gets a T-shirt.
Yeah, they get a T-shirt. Knows that we've been working on a name for you, and I think you gave yourself a name, or somebody did, because on... You do these videos where you'll describe what's happening in the internet world for our clients, and one of the times you did a video, you called yourself the Friendly Neighborhood SEO. Is that right? Is that what the name was?
Yeah, I'm a comic book fan, so you know, using terms like True Believer and your Friendly Neighborhood SEO, you know, yeah. Very fitting.
So you are the Friendly Neighborhood SEO.
Yeah.
Which you are, by the way. So in this show, we've got some pretty interesting things going on. Like, for instance, Chauncey, we're going to talk about Amazon. And did you know that Amazon is laughing at you? Has Amazon laughed at you yet? Did you know that it's actually laughing at people?
Oh, I caught this on the news. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk about that and what's going on. Because ultimately, that's a very interesting phenomenon, and that's that while we're all talking about helping you be found and your website being found, there's this whole next layer that's coming out, and that's these assistants, these voice assistants who are helping search your sites. And so that's kind of interesting. We'll go into that. Also, we want to talk about how to find out why your traffic's dropping and what questions to ask yourself, which is really interesting. But there's something else going on in the news that just came out, so I kind of want to cover that real quick. You know, Chauncey, we've talked about AMP pages, which are accelerated mobile pages, which is a kind of page that you build that Google has come out and said they love the page because it's so darn fast, right? And by fast...
It basically strips it down for easy reading on your phone and therefore really doesn't load all the things that make it look fancy on your computer that your phone really doesn't need. Yeah.
That your phone doesn't care about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so super fast, Google, and you know Google likes fast because customers like fast. Well, did you hear this that Google has decided to take what they've learned from the AMP project and actually help apply it to standard HTML, to the standard web browsing code and functionality? Bringing up the question of we may not even need to build AMP pages because Google plans
to help standardize those features into the browsers.
Allowing the browser to know what not to load and what to load, and therefore generating its own.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so now the question is, how long is that going to take? And I bring it up because, you know, if you're listening to us and you've thought about, gosh, we better get an AMP version of our website or web pages done, I'm not so sure you still shouldn't do that because this could take time, but this is something you should know about because if you're about ready to spend a fortune to build AMP pages, you may be building something that's a dinosaur. Let me read what the tech lead for the AMP project at Google wrote. He said, I'm going to say his name, and I'm sorry, I'm going to ruin it. His name is Malte Uba. And this article was in SEO Roundtable, came out on the 9th. And he says, we are taking what we learned from AMP and working on web standards that will allow instant loading for non-AMP web content. We hope this will also unlock AMP-like embeddability that powers Google search features like the top stories carousel. Meanwhile, AMP will be Google's well-lit path to creating great user experience on the web. It'll be just one of many choices, but it'll be the one we recommend. We will continue to invest heavily in AMP, a key example of how we continue to innovate on user experience on the web are AMP stories, and we hope to provide insights to future web standards along the way. So it sounds like what they're saying is that you know, they're going to do it. They're going to try to make the switch, but at the same time, they're going to keep investing in AMP so they learn more and more how to change how web pages work.
Yeah, well, initially you started out by saying, like, well, how long will it take till this kicks in? Really, in the world of technology and the web, this is it's a big bunch of data and a big leap forward in speed and what consumers want, but on a technical level, it probably won't take very long. You know, just as a reminder to our listeners, Facebook started in 2004.
Right.
We're like 14 years later. I just read a statistic that 66% of people get their news from social media. So,
wow.
So just 14 years later, we're looking at a massive change in technology and the way it is. So AMP, I give it a year. Until all the browsers start updating to do this.
Yeah. So what does this mean for businesses? I mean, sometimes this kind of thing can sound techie, and a lot of these articles that you and I read or these things we're following are meant to be read by SEOs, by the technicians. And this is definitely advice to technicians on understanding what's coming and what to prepare for and where they're at in their projects. But what does this tell us for business?
Well, you know, for years, business was I had a store and I was trying to bring in people walking off the street. And then we expanded marketing where we're reaching out to them in their homes and we're trying to get them back in. And then the internet created this situation where we're really just reaching out to them in their homes, trying to get them in. And this brings back that we're reaching out to them as they're walking down the street. It's really just kind of proof as to how many people are hitting things from their mobile phones and from their mobile devices and from their watches at this point.
Yeah.
And soon to be glasses on a regular basis. And it has to be fast. You know, as things get smaller, we need the processing power. It just shows you where your clientele is. You don't have to know the tech. You just have to understand where your clientele is.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that around because that's, you know, that is the point of AMP pages, to be fast for mobile. And it's funny, just 14 years ago was Facebook, but really just the last year or two, the amount of traffic on the internet went from less than half was on mobile devices to now we're getting up well above half. And I remember about 2-3 years ago when it crossed halfway, right? And right. Now just in 2 years or so, everybody does it. I remember just maybe 3 years ago, there were plenty of people who never used their mobile phone to search for products or do anything. They always use their computer, and now everybody uses their mobile phone when they're searching. So, yeah, it's happening fast. I like that point that really this is indicating to us that we're really just tipping our toe in the water of how mobile devices are going to affect the way people shop and buy and look for your store.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the typing is going to end up going the same way as handwriting. So for all of you people who didn't get over the fact that handwriting was wiped out by typing, prepare to be disappointed by writing in general being knocked out by talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so you're listening to the Being Found Show. You can check us out at beingfound.com. We take all of our segments and we have them transcribed there, and you can listen to them. We've got all kinds of other articles. The articles you hear in the show, we share there at beingfound.com. And you can also check us out on Facebook. So we're coming up to a break. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. I have a word for men, women, boys, and girls, and it's very simple. God created you just the way you are, a male or a female. Feeling like you are the opposite sex or having an irreversible surgery will not change that fact. Don't allow the anti-God sexual revolution to destroy the awesome person God created you to be. And parents, don't let this insanity destroy you and your children. Protect them by your family having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
The original Home and Garden Expo returns to the Shasta District Fair and Event Center March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Speak to the experts ranging from home remodeling and construction through landscaping solutions, interior design and decor, to financial and insurance services, and learn about the latest in design and green technology. Plus, the Love Your Pet Expo, featuring vaccines, heartworm testing, dog sports, demonstrations, adoptions, and more. For more information, go online at Reading Home Expo and loveyourpetexpo.com.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. I'm CloudWise Joe with Chauncey Hallworth here. We're going to make sense of the Internet so you get more buying customers, or at least that's what we're going to try to do. That's what Chauncey does. I think I complicate everything.
A little.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Chauncey. Thanks for the support. All right, so let's get into our two-minute tip, which could mean it's going to take 2 minutes to say it. Could be that it's 2 minutes worth of advice.
I think it's realistic to have a two-minute tip,
yeah,
followed up with a discussion about the tip. So
there we go.
You should feel so bad if it goes over 2 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. So then, saying it that way, let me try to then say the tip in 2 minutes. I came across, or I was in a meeting with a marketing group, a big one, who specializes in taking content into the monsters. Amazon, eBay, Jet, and tons of other ones. And while I was talking to him about all this, they used a term which I really, really liked. And they kind of just browsed through the term. But what I want to do is I want to kind of share that term with our audience and then really break down the wisdom of the term. And so here's the term. The term they use is A, B, or fast. Okay, so that's the term. So what am I talking about? Essentially, when they're talking about putting content into Amazon, eBay, you know, any of those places, if you've ever tried to do that, even if you just try to sell your own vehicle on Craigslist, let's say, all of a sudden when it's time to actually put your product in one of those places, you realize, well, wait a minute. What's the title of this post that I'm going to put here about the truck I'm selling? What do I need to do? Do I need to put the year? What's the description of this truck? Oh, darn it. Is this truck in good condition, bad condition? Right? So even if you've done it at that level, now imagine taking 5, 10, 100, 1,000 products out into the internet, and it could become overwhelming where you think to yourself, oh, I'm not even going to do this. I'm not going on Amazon. I'm not going on eBay because this is just too hard. And I particularly feel this pain myself because for some of you that know some of the project I'm working on, I have a couple other companies that I'm a founder of that's taken a lot of products out into Amazon and eBay. And frankly, it can be a little overwhelming. And so this term they use, A, B, or fast, just made all the sense in the world. And here's what they mean. Essentially, when they go to put content into the internet, they decide whether they're going to put content up fast. In other words, whatever they've got, as best as they have it, just get the content into Amazon, eBay, or whatever. Don't have paralysis by overanalysis. And then what they do is from there they start to analyze what's happening with those products, and they make the decision if they're going to upgrade individual products' content to B-level content, which might be a little bit more refined, still generic. And then if they really think that it's really important these products sell, or they see that they have an opportunity, they change that content to A-level content. So let's say you're going to put 500 products into Amazon or eBay, or let's say you just have 20 products. That can take forever if you own your own business. You might adopt A, B, or fast in sense that you don't have to have it all A-level content until you get it on. Now, part of the wisdom of this, and part of the reason I like this is because it's another way of describing what I call limited risk marketing, which means, you know, limit your time, your effort, and your spend until you're sure something's working. So this does deal with that big thing that everyone worries about, that if they put something online and it's not quite perfect, that everyone's going to see it and they're going to be shamed forever. Well, nobody's going to see it. Yeah, there's millions and millions of products on Amazon and eBay and all those. And frankly, if you don't have your content good enough to be found, it's not going to be found anyways. So it's okay to do this in steps, get it on there, and then start to refine your content so it starts to be found more. The method that we use for this, or you and I talk about, Chauncey, which this is part of, is be available, be found, and then cultivate. Right, and so that's what I like so much about this, because this is the fast content, the B content, or the A content is really our method of saying, well, is it on Amazon or eBay to even be available? And the next step, let's go adjust it, refine it, optimize it so it's being found. So a two-minute tip is when it comes to putting your products on the monsters or really in your website or anywhere, realize that you've got three different types of content you can put on. That's fast, that's B, or that's A. And you can always upgrade that content to A over time. You don't have to wait till it's all A content. All right, two-minute tip in about 5 minutes. How did I do, Chauncey?
Not bad.
No?
Not bad. You know, I like the concept put that way. You know, I kind of view things that way. It's extra good if you're dealing with things like eBay and Amazon, because for one, it's not your own website, so putting up lower quality content, you know, the SEO in me goes a little bit. But really, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And it's extra effective because you're going at websites that are used to targeting this, and especially if you're selling products because, you know, those filters on Amazon, low to high, high to low, mm-hmm. you know, most relevant, so on and so forth. Let's say you have terrible content, but you have the lowest price.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to pick up a percentage
of and
the
that's,
people on that site.
I'm glad you brought that down because that's you got to get in the game, right? And go ahead and you know put it in your brain that you're going to have three types of content. That's fast A or B, and decide do you have time to make it all A content? If you do, then do it. But if you don't, fast is better than nothing because at least you're in the game. At least you're being found when they're searching for price. Or maybe they're just not finding exactly what they want, and they dig down three or four pages worth, which I certainly have done. At least you're in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And on an SEO content level, I'll throw in a bonus there as well. And that is that Google likes to see you refining your pages. They like to see you coming along, making it better, making updates, refreshing your content, making it relevant. So if you get it through fast and 3 months later you go to B and 3 months later you go to A, Google's going to see a regular involvement in your own website. Now, I realize a lot of what we're talking about is geared towards third-party websites like Amazon and eBay. But even on your own website, you know, this isn't a bad place to start.
Okay, good. Actually, let's jump to another one of the articles that I was reading this week. Because I think it goes right into that. This one is Search Engine Journal. I've got about 4 minutes to nail this one. And Google's John Mueller puts out information, and you can see it's, this article is called Google's John Mueller Reveals How Often a Site is Re-Indexed in Search. And again, we'll have this on beingfound.com. But what's really interesting is he's asked how often does Google re-index a site? In other words, how often does Google go back and look at your website? And this article goes on to say it seems like it's much less often than it used to be, right? And so here's Mueller explains why. Mueller explains that it takes time to crawl an entire website. If Googlebot were to crawl a whole site in a short period of time, it would cause unnecessary strain on the server. For that reason, Googlebot has a strict limit on the number of pages it can crawl every day. Exact number was not mentioned. Since Googlebot can only crawl a certain amount of pages, it gives priority to pages that should be crawled more frequently. The most important pages, according to Google, and keep in mind, this is John Mueller from Google, according to Google, are homepage and high-level category pages. Those pages will be crawled most often, so change will be reflected in Google search faster than any old blog post. I actually brought this article up a little sooner because I think this goes right along with what you're talking about, Chauncey, and... You know, that is, if we're going to talk about your own website and getting your content in there, you know, you might have 27 products, an old blog post that you know, you think you've optimized the best you can, but you can go fix those. But even more importantly, it's okay to keep refining and adjusting and adding to your higher level pages, your category page, and your home page, because it turns out Google gives them more priority. As I step back, what does that mean to a business, Chauncey? Because, you know, I've always just kind of half thought that Google just crawls websites. And you got about a minute to make sense of this. But what does this mean to a business when it comes to what Google actually crawls?
Well, I would say that the first thing that it makes me think of that a business should probably take away from this is, for those of you who are sitting around thinking that you can't set aside that 8 hours in order to get something done online, what Google is telling you right here is that 15 minutes a day is probably more effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to creating content, getting it out there, sharing it, and so on and so forth, you know, they're showing a regular involvement, almost kind of like a social media kind of aspect where you're sort of involved throughout your life as opposed to setting everything aside in order to, you know, get it all done in a day and not hit it again for months, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
And then the other thing that it's saying is blogging is obviously not dead because pages don't show up in categories, only blog posts do.
Yeah. Yeah, but isn't it also talking about product categories?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, product.
Sorry,
and
I'm stuck on my content thoughts.
Yeah, no, but yeah. So the point is that if you're going to blog about, say, you're going to blog about camper shells, well, it's that category page where you're updating from your blog posts with the information about camper shells. And so, you know, that's a page that you would pay close attention to and make sure is being updated, because Google apparently is coming back to it, and it doesn't crawl your whole site, I guess, if you have a big site. Okay, so we are coming to the end of this segment, and you're listening to the Being Found show. We will be right back after this break. You're not going to want to miss it, because we got more big tips for you.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit. At Wind River Retreat, indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean. Here at Wind River Retreat, our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
Introducing Salt Creek Heights, luxury new home community in West Reading. High quality homes built by Palomar Builders, now open in phase one. And now featuring two new lower priced plans starting at just $403.8 and $421.8. Many lots with mountain or open space views. Energy efficient homes include an entry level solar system. Many traditional and modern styles available. Amenities include tile roofs, VersiFlex roofing, beautiful granite countertops, stylish tile bathtubs and showers, gorgeous kitchens, homes with 10-foot ceilings and up to 15-foot per plan, 8-foot front doors throughout, stylish light and plumbing fixtures, and exterior stained fencing. Contact Tom Papik of Coldwell Banker for more information at 941-9534. Now open, Salt Creek Heights by Palomar Builders. Take Eureka Way west to Buenaventura Boulevard to the entrance. Come see the difference. Palomar Builders, building your memories.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
This is the Being Found show. If you're listening to the show, you're going to be found by more buying customers. I promise. Can you promise? Is there like an FCC rule against promising? on the radio by chance?
I don't know. Politicians promise all the time.
It's true. That's true. That's not fair, though, to compare this to a politician, but whatever. Okay, so is Amazon laughing at you? You know, it's right now, there are tons of people who are basically saying Amazon does a creepy, evil laugh. That's what it's described. Now, I listened to it, and again, we'll have this article on the Being Found show. There's a video of the laugh. It's evil. It sounds very creepy. And so the reason I wanted to bring this up, because for one, it's kind of creepy and weird, this whole AI technical assistant in your house listening to everything you say and trying to help you out. I mean, that's very, you know, Jetsons versus the Twilight Zone. And then it just gets creepy that this thing's evilly laughing at you. So that's interesting. It turns out that at least this is what Amazon's saying. Of course, maybe on your other show, Chauncey, you might have a whole different reason for this. But it turns out that this evil laugh comes because Alexa, which is Amazon's assistant, a personal assistant you buy, mistakenly thinks it hears Alexa laugh. So there's some words and some sentences you'll say, and Alexa thinks it's hearing Alexa laugh. Okay.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
To me, the laugh sounds a little bit like some teenage kid and his buddy who just dipped their other friend's finger in warm water when he was sleeping. It sounds a little too much like a teenage bro laugh. It doesn't sound like Alexa to me.
Yeah, you're right. It sounds, there's been people that have heard it and kept looking through their house because they thought there was kids in their house.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. What reason would they have to lie? You know, I mean, if there is a reason to lie, I'm sure it's terrifying.
That's what I know, right?
That Alexa is now sentient and is laughing about the fact that, you know, Skynet is going to be released tomorrow or something. But in all likelihood, what they're telling us is true, because they wouldn't lie about it if they were hacked, I don't think.
No. Because... Well, and what if you, like, walked out of the shower and Alexa started laughing? I mean, it's bad enough when your wife does it. I mean, I'm over it now, but, you know.
Some of us are used to it. But.
Yeah, right? right. So here's the thing, though. I don't have the statistics right now, but this is a whole new way that you have to be found, because essentially Alexa and Google Dots and these other, you know, artificial intelligence slash type assistants are trying to translate your voice into a normal search. Mm. Right? And so that's something, and it's, again, like you brought up earlier in the show, it's happening fast. And we have to be thinking about that when we're writing our content or building our websites. We have to think about how is someone going to pronounce, what words is a normal human going to use? Us in the SEO world, we've been seeing this for a few years now, that it's become important to go to more of a natural speech type of writing as opposed to a super smart style of writing, which is interesting because there seems to be two facts there. One is you're supposed to use natural speech in your writing, but also you're supposed to write to the level of a fourth grader. So does that mean in America we naturally speak at the level of a fourth grade? Is that what that's telling us, Chauncey?
That is exactly what it's telling you, yes. Okay. And this is not me being sarcastic, it is.
Okay.
So this Alexa thing – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, the Alexa thing has me thinking – so I think there might be some misunderstanding in the reporting there. I bet you it's not that Alexa thinks you're telling it to laugh. I bet you Alexa is made so that when it's active, it's made to respond with you if you laugh.
Oh, no.
Like it's laughing with
you. No. This, you should listen to the videos. You will ask it to order you pizza, and it'll laugh at you. Right?
Okay.
And it's this creepy laugh. And it's actually Amazon coming back saying that they're trying to fix the problem, And they say the problem is Alexa thinks you're telling her to laugh. It is misunderstood what you said. And I guess,
at least it doesn't think you're telling it to scream bloody murder.
But it might, right? So I bring up this one because it's kind of creepy, but more so it's just to bring in the regular course of your consumer's world. There is now another device that they're using in masses to look for you. And that device is translating voice into search. And that's essentially what's happening with Alexa. So Alexa misunderstood and laughed. But what happens when Alexa misunderstands your company name? Or what happens if your competitors are clearer in their content that they offer shoes for sale? I cannot tell you how many clients' websites, when we look at them, we go, okay, why doesn't it say you actually sell shoes? Well, we want people to know the difference about us. We want them to know how our engineering in our shoes. And, okay, but people want to know if you sell shoes or not, right? And there's literally no reference to selling shoes. That's regular. That's not abnormal. Or a home page is all about what the owner thinks about the company and what the owner thinks is important and what the owner, but it never talks about what the customer's looking for. So we can just see how much more direct the consumer is being when using something like this. You know, when I'm going to ask Alexa, which by the way, I won't put one of these creepy things in my house, but if I'm going to ask Alexa to find me a pair of shoes, I'm going to say, Alexa, find me a pair of shoes, which better mean that if I'm a shoe salesman, that my website says you can find shoes here, you know?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, and so if she's missing this translation, I guess my point of this is we need to recognize that there is this device now that's translating voice and trying to understand voice, and what it has to work with is text on our websites. And website, you know, real quick, one of the things it goes into is, first off, 84% of people use artificial intelligence who were surveyed. But this article also goes on to talk about, well, how does something like Alexa understand whether it's finding the right website and things like that? And it becomes, who are you associated with? What are your categories like? All that kind of stuff, which is really what we talk about all the time, is standard search engine optimization, link building, and all that kind of stuff. So,
This just made me think of something that's a little off topic, but it's a way for people to make the comparison about the ways that these technologies are changing. When movies were first made and came out to audiences, you know, we all take movies for granted now and how to watch them. But prior to movies being made, everything was either a stage performance, written in a book, or anything like that. There was nothing like a movie prior.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would show a scene of horses riding across the prairie, then they'd show a scene of some old folks sitting on a deck, and then they'd cut back to the scene of horses riding across a prairie. In the beginning, people didn't necessarily know what to make of that.
Right.
Movies and people's perceptions of movies evolved together. And we did the same thing with Google search in typing. We all sort of learned to refine the ways that we were wording to meet the search engine's expectations to get what we wanted out of it. You know, this new voice search, although I'm sure it will happen to some degree, is really starting to remove that entirely.
Right.
You know, to the point where we're talking just like we communicate to another human being like we've done for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. And so it'll be pretty interesting, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of hang-ups along the way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, Google's going to laugh at you, and Alexa's going to laugh at you. You know, it's one of the reasons that on this show we record all of our segments, and then we actually have them transcribed so that the content on our website is in written form, but it's natural speak, of course. And ironically, we both sound like fourth graders, so I think that's why it's so easily
found.
Well,
the other interesting tech part about that is who's doing the transcribing.
And, you know, isn't that funny? Because the transcribing is being done by a computer. It's not a human. Did you know that? It is done by a computer, not a human, and then we actually go through and make sure it's all right. Okay, so we're about ready to end this segment, although, you know, we are on video right now, and every time I turn to the side, I realize I have giant chubby cheeks. So I'm gonna do something about that somehow. I'm not sure what. But
either
all right,
exercise or stop turning to the side.
Yeah, no, I'm going to stop turning to the side.
Or you could grow a beard like me.
Yep, there you go. Okay, so you listen to the Being Found show. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back, and Chauncey and I are going to talk about how to diagnose your traffic drops. We're going to make sense of this. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Shasta County Board of Supervisors Les Baugh and Mary Rickert. Let's talk about why we don't have any jail space and what they are doing to increase the beds in the Shasta County Jail. Also, Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce here to discuss communication between men and women and how to spice up their sex lives. All of this Monday here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day. Miss a lot.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Welcome back to the Being Found show. You can check out this show at beingfound.com. All the articles we talk about are there. Basically, if you want to be found by more buying customers, either listen to this show or go to the beingfound.com website. Okay, Chauncey, this is our last segment. I actually meant for us to talk about this next article for darn near most of the show. but we didn't get to it. So let's try to dig through this one. This is the article. Let's see what was this article in. It was on Moz. It's how to diagnose SEO traffic drops, 11 questions and answers. I want you to go into it mostly, but the reason I wanted to cover this one so much when you brought it up is you and I are asked all the time by our clients, why'd our traffic drop? And we have to go through this with them. We have to go through these 11 things. Like the first one, it might not even be good data that you're looking at, right? Maybe what you looked at doesn't matter. And so that's what I really liked about this article is this is a good chance for us to make sense of what we do when we're talking to a client. So let's imagine that a client just said to you, Chauncey, why did our traffic drop? And let's go through some of these from that perspective. Chauncey, okay. Why did our traffic drop?
So, yeah, in the article here in the preliminary, it just says, basically, is it normal noise, just normal variance? Do you trust the data? Basically, what they're saying is, first, make sure that these aren't normal ebbs and flows. You know, if you look like a bar graph of your data, a line graph, you're not going to get a straight line. There's going to be ups and downs. You know, most people aren't calling for a, you know, pizza at 10 on a Monday, you know. There are going to be ups and downs. And then there's also updates to the data that you're using. So, you know, it's saying, excluding that we trust the numbers we're seeing. The first one that they say was there a recent Google algorithm update? And this is the one that have hit people the hardest over the years. Definitely hasn't hit them the most, but those it has hit, it hit the hardest. You know, we saw companies collapse after some of these because they were relying on such shady tactics. And to be fair to Google for years prior and definitely months prior was advertising, listen, these shady practices that you're doing, it's about to hurt. Yeah. And you need to stop doing it and undo it. And what an algorithm update is basically the way Google organizes when I type in pizza in Reading. It basically, it's how it decides who the best result is. I don't know. How fast do you want me to go through these?
Well, I think you're nailing it. I do have a question, though, or not a question. I do want to bring up that, you know, so we've got an algorithm update. Now, if you're talking to your SEO guy, girl, company, whatever, and you want to know, hey, why did the traffic drop? One of the things... Again, the point of us going over this is so you know to ask them stuff or you understand what they might be looking into. So one of the questions you would ask your SEO was there an algorithm update? And you yourself can go check that. There are actually places to do that, and one of them is Mozcast. Mozcast is kind of like a weather channel that actually it looks like it's casting the weather, but it's really talking about what it's noticing in the kind of Google algorithm changes. And then there's also some things that are verified on Moz on the Google algorithm change history where you can see things, although it doesn't look like this is up to date in 2018, which probably because I haven't verified any. But so there are places you can go look in those places. Okay, so I just wanted to jump in there, Chauncey. So what's the next one? Is the drop specific to any segment, right? So I go, gosh, traffic's dropped, but now what we got to wonder is, well, where did it drop on our blogs? Did it drop on a particular product, right? So what do we do there? What does that mean?
Well, by figuring it out, I mean there's lots of normal reasons why it might drop with a specific segment. You know, maybe your product or service is obsolete. You know, maybe somebody else has niched their way into that corner of your market, you know, or maybe societal preference on the way that's delivered has changed, you know. So by digging in there, really noticing the dip and doing something about it really can be quite advantageous because dips inevitably are going to happen. So if you stay ahead of the curve, you know, that one can actually be very beneficial.
Yeah, and I like these are kind of in orders how you do it. So first is, do I even like the data? Second would be, you know, what's going on with Google in general or search in general? And then we start getting into these segments. You know, is there a particular product dropped off? Did Best Buy start selling what you sell and they're way better at being found than you? And so you're disappearing. You know, this is it'd be like whether you're, if this was the old days and people actually read newspapers and it was a newspaper ad, did someone else buy the ad above you? And so now you've gone down, which means you're going to get less calls. But if we keep following that, Chauncey, the next thing this article brings up is, are you being penalized? Now, before you get into that a little bit, I've suffered this. We've had our sites hacked before, or a site hacked before, and it takes a little while to realize it's been hacked. Maybe they're using your server power, or maybe it's some other kind of thing, and Google may find out. And Google may actually give a security alert against you, so when people are browsing in Google's browser, it actually says under your name that this site may have been hacked, which I don't know about you, but if I see this site may have been hacked, I'm skipping. I'm going to results lower.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Google will almost always inform you before penalizing you if you're doing something shady. So they normally, in Google Webmaster Tools, will send you in. Like, for a while there, the world was using the aggregate rating update or schema in one way, and we all thought it was right. We weren't being shady. But then Google put out a big notice to the SEO community through Google Webmaster Tools that this needs to be taken care of. And, you know, we were able to get it all taken care of prior to being penalized, you know. Mm-hmm. So really the best way here, and the article says, you know, just check Google and it'll tell you if you're penalized.
Well, and there's another one that's come up. So Google has clearly been telling everybody that you've got to move to HTTPS. In other words, you have to have a secure layer. And you have to pay for this, or you have to use web builders that would have it, like Shopify or things like that. That's essentially when you look up in your browser at a website and you see HTTP or HTTPS. The S means it's a secure layer, and Google's telling you that you're going to be penalized. And I can't remember the date. It's coming up, though, within a month or two, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And so this, like you described, this is something that you're being warned about, is the HTTPS. Frankly, our phone should be ringing off the hook, Chauncey, of people telling us that they need to hurry up and get behind a secure layer, because we know a lot of local companies are not behind a secure layer.
Oh, yes.
So that's an example of a penalization that's on its way.
Absolutely. And I'm sure if people go into their Google Webmaster Tools, either now or soon, they'll notice that there's information about that, telling you that you need to take care of that.
Yeah. So also it goes into – here's an obvious one. A lot of people don't think about this, though. Did the drop coincide with a major site change? You know, did you look, as a boss, you may go look at your website and go, I hate that page. That is so ugly. Change it. So your web people change it. But what you may not know is that might have been your page that was being found the most, the most traffic was going to, and you just basically cut off an artery. And then you go to your SEO people and your web people and you go, well, where'd our traffic go? Well, step back and go look at the changes you made. And I would say that is so common, it's almost an epidemic. It's almost an epidemic. If anybody's listening to this show, and if any of my clients are listening to this show, you have probably heard me say, who really cares what you think? I have been in boardrooms where CEOs say, we need to get rid of that page. And I would say, who really cares what you think? Have you looked at the statistics? Have you seen how many of your clients like that page or don't like that page? If you haven't, then don't tell me to get rid of it.
Okay.
Because that would be like, well, I don't like driving down this street to get to my office, so get rid of the street. Okay, well, everyone else may like driving that street to your office, right?
Yeah, and your website, I'm using Office as well, but not in any way off of yours. Your website is not your office. Your website is not for you. It's just not for you. It's for your visitors. It's for your clientele. So if you don't like it, That doesn't matter. There's all sorts of things that I don't like that aren't for me, and I keep my mouth shut because,
yeah.
You know, they're not for me.
Yeah.
But yeah. But just people need to remember that the website is for the visitor. It's not for the business. It's not your office. You don't have to sit in the ambiance and work there or anything like that. You know, if you hate it, but it's converting and bringing you awesome traffic, my advice is don't look at it.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Okay, so we're coming up to the end of the show. You know, Chauncey, as I'm sitting here staring at you, I'm thinking that what you need is a big bean bag and someone feeding you grapes and have a fan on you. I just think you'd be really comfortable.
All right. A hookah, a helper money, and a bullet dates or something?
Yeah, yeah. All right. So we're coming to the end of this show. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can listen to the show, find out more about all the stuff we talk about at beingfound.com. And we'll see you again next week. Thanks.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
President Trump is celebrating the firing of the former FBI Deputy Director and correspondent Ben Thomas has an update.
Andrew McCabe had been on leave from the FBI since January and was approaching his scheduled retirement date Sunday. But Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced his firing Friday night on the recommendation of FBI disciplinary officials. In a tweet early Saturday, President Trump called it a great day for the hardworking men and women of the FBI and a great day for democracy, adding without elaboration that McCabe knew all about the lies and corruption going on at the highest levels of the FBI. McCabe calls his firing part of the Trump administration's ongoing war on the FBI and special counsel Robert Mueller's probe into potential coordination between Russia and the Trump campaign. Ben Thomas, Washington.
There have been some changes, one should say, at the White House in recent weeks. Many close to the president believe that more upheaval is coming soon to the administration. But White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says while that may not be true, it is the president's prerogative to make staff changes if and when he wants.
You want the right people for the right time.
President Trump's lawyer, meanwhile, claiming up to $20 million in damages in a court filing now against porn actress Stormy Daniels. We get an update from White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
Trump lawyer Michael Cohen's court filing seeks to move Daniels' case from a state-level court to federal court in Los Angeles. And Cohen says Daniels, who claims to have had a sexual relationship with Donald Trump, owes $20 million in damages for violating a non-disclosure agreement. She's trying to invalidate the agreement by returning the $130,000 she was paid.
As White House correspondent Greg Clugston reporting, Daniels also claiming the deal is null and void because it was never signed by Donald Trump. More from townhall.com.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you want your thin hair to feel and look thicker? With Viviscal, the number one drug-free healthy hair supplement in the U.S., two little tablets is all it takes, guaranteed. Viviscal is clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And right now, a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area, risk-free plus free shipping. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within, and we guarantee you'll love your hair growth results. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by doctors. Here's what dermatologist Dr. John Laura has to say about Viviscal.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal. It's backed by 25 years of research and multiple clinical studies that demonstrate Viviscal's effectiveness in promoting the growth of thicker, fuller hair.
It's so easy to try Viviscal. Call right now for a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call 800-335-6708. That's 800-335-6708. 800-335-6708.
Major U.S. airlines are hiring pilots now at a rate not seen since before the 9/11 attacks, and Jeremy House reports that is encouraging many more young people to consider a career in the cockpit.
Hiring is likely to remain brisk for years. Smaller airlines in the U.S. are struggling with a shortage that will continue as they lose pilots to the bigger carriers, which in turn will need to replace thousands of retiring pilots over the next few years. Last summer, Alaska Airlines subsidiary Horizon Air canceled more than 300 flights over 2 months for lack of pilots. Republic Airways filed for bankruptcy protection in 2016, citing a pilot shortage that forced it to ground flights.
That's Jeremy House reporting. Sweden's foreign minister held what she called good and constructive talks with her North Korean counterpart Friday. That's amid growing speculation about a possible meeting in the Scandinavian country between President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Family and friends laid to rest on Friday a 26-year-old Dallas firefighter who was killed in that recent helicopter crash on Sunday in New York City.
Brian McDaniel's body was returned home Tuesday by a United Airlines plane receiving a water cannon salute from DFW firefighters. He was then honored at a funeral home in East Dallas until Friday when the procession of honor made its way to Coleman, Oklahoma for a private service and burial. McDaniel was in New York visiting longtime friend Trevor Cadigan, also killed in the crash along with three others, Valdeor reporting.
New York's Democratic governor will decide when and how to fill the seat left vacant by the death of Congresswoman Louise Slaughter. It's up to Governor Andrew Cuomo to choose when to hold a special election, or considering the cost of a campaign, he could choose to leave that seat vacant until the November midterm election. Either way, the district is considered a solid Democrat seat and victory. More details at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Stumbled across my own impressive radio delivery right there. I am Chauncey Hallworth, the host of this
illustrious show.
Yeah, yes. Totally famous worldwide on the interweb.
And I'm the heckler.
And this is Sean, my heckler. How are you doing, Sean?
No, really, I'm the other host. Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm excited for the show here. We had a very good interview with these folks the last other time.
So yeah, we got
I'm
Jen
getting ahead and of myself. But
yeah, we got Jen and Jenna from the She Squatchers coming back, and we're just gonna kind of have fun and talk about all the things that Bigfoot really might be.
Yeah, I got a Bigfoot related story, which I have a different news segment, so I wanted to share this now because I can decide between them. There's a woman who's suing the state of California, with like this petition in court to get them to legally recognize that Bigfoot exists.
Really?
So legal experts don't think this is likely to go anywhere, in the sense that it is likely to be dismissed immediately.
Well, doesn't legal stuff take proof?
I would think in general, yeah. It is a fairly long document. You can read the petition online. And yeah, she does cite sources.
Huh.
Like, obviously, right? There's a zillion Bigfoot videos on the internet.
I want to say, I'm pulling
there's
this
a zillion Bigfootologists or whatever.
Right.
Cryptozoologists.
I want to say, and I'm pulling this from my memory somewhere back there, but other countries have actually done this.
Wait,
and
really?
Actually has happened. So we're going to have to look into this during the break and address this.
I would be extremely surprised if that was the case, but this show is about nothing, if not extremely surprising things.
That's
so
true. But before our guest comes on, I have a grievance I'd like to air.
Sure. Yeah. Air your grievance on
the air.
Air,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Very clever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
So our guest thought the show was earlier. Due to the time change.
while springing forward and the different time zones.
That's confusing.
She got a little confused in that. Which, I mean, you know, I mean, it happens to all of us every once in a while. But
yeah, I mean, that's an acceptable excuse.
So I know we don't live in a time where it's really politically correct to say anything good about China. But China, the country of China, covers about, I think, 5 time zones.
Okay.
And China does not have daylight savings time.
Well, why would they? Because it's a silly thing that we have that I don't think anyone else really has, except maybe one or two places.
Yeah, well, they also don't have time zones.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Oh.
So people all the way on the west might be going to work at 3 in the morning,
huh,
where people all the way on the east might be going to work at 8 in the morning.
Interesting.
And they just have a set time across the entire country.
Honestly, I mean, that's maybe a good way to do it. You don't have to keep track of as much. You know, it's just our intuitive understandings of 3 a.m. is the middle of the night versus
right.
the
yeah.
late morning or
it
whatever.
It means nothing. It's just yeah. a label that we put on something. You know, if you're going yeah. to work when the sun came up, well, then you go to work when the sun came up.
Okay. So
it just sucks if you work for the state, who maybe have mandated hours
oh,
so
yeah.
that they can all interact, you know.
Yeah.
In which case, true. You really might be going to work at 3, 4 in the morning, you know. That's brutal. But I mean,
either way, you're dealing with some weird Earth rotation-related inconvenience. So.
Totally. Isn't everything?
Yeah.
Isn't everything. You know, throughout my life, I have battled being nocturnal.
Uh-huh.
Time.
Right.
And it's not that I hate the daytime, it's just my body hates it.
Okay.
My circadian rhythm.
You burn in the sun.
Yeah. No. You know, I can't do it. And like, so I own my own business and like, I make my own business hours and people are all, oh, that's great. You make your own business hours. And the answer is kind of, yeah.
But you got to interact with the world.
I interact with other businesses. Yeah, I made my own business hours. It's 8 to 5 every day.
Yeah.
Because that's when businesses are open. You know, so I have kids. I got a business. And so I get up at 6 o'clock every morning, and every morning I hate it. You know, I Frankenstein walk into my kitchen in, you know, my underpants and a T-shirt, and I basically stare at the Keurig while it spits out some coffee, and I hate it. And then we got to change the time zones. I mean, change the daylight savings and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Which stresses me out. So this is a fight that I've been doing so like Saturday night and Sunday night mainly. You know, I got to be back to work on Monday. Sunday night, I end up getting panicked, and I'm just all like, oh, God, no, I have to get to sleep early, you know, and then get up. And so I end up getting myself into such a panic that I end up not going to sleep until like 2 in the morning. And then
yeah.
I basically have to get up 4 hours later. I'm running on nothing, an hour less than nothing. And I just got to say to all of you out there, why are we doing this?
I don't know. I suffer less, I think, because I fortunately work nights, so I rarely have to get up before 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. I just have a hard time relaxing until...
Right, if you know you've got to get up at a certain time, then it, you know...
Yeah, and the most relaxed I ever am is when all my family is home, and they're all asleep. I know that everything's done. I know that no problems are going to come. The phone is not going to ring.
Mm-hmm.
The family is all safe and taken care of. I'm yeah. vigilant on the couch, possibly watching some 80s cartoon.
And then that persists for another 20 minutes.
And then my brain, over. Unfortunately, then my brain comes to life. You know, so this is kind of part of my problem with nocturnalness, is that once all the stresses are taken out, you know, my creative brain comes to life, and I'm just like, hey, I should write a novel at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, you yeah. know. But I don't know. It's not really an option.
Well, I mean, we're going to just try and inch closer to being, you know, gainfully employed late night radio hosts.
Well, I would like somebody to tell me why we do this still. I mean, I understand why we did it initially.
People buy more stuff during daylight savings time.
Well, then keep daylight savings time year-round.
Well, then it isn't anything.
If it's year-round, it'll just be the time. You know?
I think it's the change that... I don't know. I don't understand it. But
let's just change it every day. Every day we'll go up an hour. The next day we'll go down. Then we'll always be thrown off.
And buying more stuff.
And, yeah, by extension, that would be great for industry.
Totally. Because
except for the lost productivity. I don't know why people buy more stuff during daylight savings time. I don't know why that works, but apparently they do.
Well, there's probably some sort of spike of the season, you know, and people say, hey, it's buying season. You know, I bought a new barbecue, so, I mean, everybody, you know, getting ready for the season. All right, you are listening to Radio Wasteland, and coming up next, we have our guests, Jen and Jenna, the She Squatchers, back here again to discuss what is Bigfoot.
Weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, April 20th, from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender. Member FDIC.
Well, I sat down to write you a letter.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guests, Jen and Jenna, the She Squatchers, returning to our show to discuss, of all things, Bigfoot. Jen, Jenna, we got you there?
You do. Hello.
There they are. Yeah, we got you from two separate locations, or are you in the same room talking on two different phones?
I'm actually in Moorhead, Minnesota, and Jenna's calling in from Galveston, Texas.
Oh. We're going continental wide. All right, yeah. So, you know, the thing that we were thinking that we would discuss this evening is really kind of all the things that Bigfoot could be. And, you know, I really thought that we'd kind of start off with the oldest idea. Some of it can get a little paranormal. I guess paranormal is maybe not the right word. Some of it can get a little supernatural.
Yeah.
But a lot of it has to do with the Native Americans and their sightings throughout the, you know, their oral history for thousands of years before we even got here. You know, that kind of, to me, puts a serious exclamation point on the possibilities of this thing even existing. Have you guys in your adventures had a chance to look into much of that?
The Native American history?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Actually, I am part Native American. I'm part Dakota Sioux and Ojibwe and Cree, and a whole bunch of other things. Some mixed blood of everything, I think. But
how American of you?
Oh yes, right.
Yeah.
I'm very drawn to learning about the Native beliefs about Bigfoot and how that is intertwined in their culture and the spiritual beliefs as well. And as the Ojibwe belief is very much the same, very, very similar to the belief of the Dakota Sioux, which is that Bigfoot is a solid creature, a solid being, but yet can move through the woods in a gliding motion very quietly, as if the trees weren't there. So through shallow places or narrow places that you wouldn't normally think that Bigfoot could fit through. And that Bigfoot could move through dimensions at will, so into the spirit realm and then the solid realm here where we are, this physical realm, at will. That's the belief that the Native people have, as well as that Bigfoot is lumped into a category, so to speak, called the little people, what they call the little people, which actually is a, even though Bigfoot's not little, the Dakota believe Bigfoot is often with Chahotinas, which is actually spelled Canotina, but it's pronounced Chahotina. And when asked what that is, they are considered the little people of the woodlands of the forest. And they look like little baby Bigfoots, but they're not baby Bigfoots. They're full-grown little people. And that Bigfoot is often near them. So they're very connected with the little people.
Yeah,
the Ojibwe believe the same type of thing, that they're very connected, and that Bigfoot is like our bigger brother, looking out for us, living an honest life, and is comes to us in times where we need to know something that will help to guide us in some way.
Yeah, this kind of takes on two thoughts for me. One is the sort of supernatural, and one is the sort of scientific. And, you know, it seems that a lot of the Native Americans, you know, apply a super, or the ancient Native American peoples, apply a sort of supernatural belief system to Bigfoot. And them being an ancient peoples, you take ancient peoples from anywhere in the world, and they do apply these potential mythologies to the situation. So I don't find any of that shocking, although I find that all to be possible as well. The thing that really draws it together for me is the consistency across all of North America, from groups of people speaking drastically different languages, yet they all have this same history, this same folklore, you know, different stories connected to it, but still the same description and the same areas and the same activities. You know, it's really kind of, I don't know, it really sort of adds some weight to the idea that this either is there or at least once was there.
Exactly. I fully agree with you. I'm actually, this week I'm headed to Ohio to look at some petroglyphs, at the Leo petroglyphs in Ohio, because I have seen online that they have some petroglyphs that lead me to believe they might be referencing Bigfoot. So I want to go check out and see what else they have there, see if I can gain some insight to what the ancient peoples were trying to communicate to us in the present.
Yeah, it's always interesting, especially when it jumps that divide. I would say that, you know, there's a lot of cryptid beliefs out there and stuff that sort of pass from ancient, what we would call myth, to present-day sightings, but very few as consistent in their timeline. You know, it sort of went right from these native people seeing it to the English settlers starting to see it, sort of much like Champ and Lake Champlain and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of sightings of natives talking about that for years, and then, you know, here comes Champlain seeing these things as well. And it really is quite amazing, the consistency, the timeline consistency. So, like, in the case of, you know, if you're seeing fairies or something, you know, we're looking at a good 600 years in between the belief system in these things and then people starting to cite them again. But in the case of Bigfoot, it really seems quite consistent.
That's what I'm taking in, too. And simply from our own experiences, a lot of the things that we've heard from the natives over time, actually we've come to see evidence that perhaps that is true. It suggests that that they were right. You know, certain things that we've encountered or experienced or found, you know, is pointing to the idea that they were correct.
Yeah, it's also what I was trying to get at earlier is, you know, maybe I won't beat around the bush so much. In the case of other ancient histories, their belief systems that they had that they no longer have anymore. But in the case of Native Americans, you know, a lot of these people still have these belief systems and these religions. And so, you know, I was trying to tiptoe around the fact that whether or not they're real on the spiritual level, you know, there's still a lot there for us to take scientifically. But that's in no way me knocking the religious aspect of it, because a lot of the things we cover here are definitely preternatural, you know.
Well, what a lot of people might consider religious or spiritual, I think can be also explained by science when we start to look at, say, quantum physics and those aspects of things, where if you consider that everything exists at a certain energy frequency, and that perhaps when a certain solid being raises its own energy frequency to a certain level, perhaps it becomes less solid and can move more freely through the solid substances, like a forest, as if it wasn't there at all. You know, just like they're saying. So these types of things, when you look at quantum physics, becomes more possible.
Yeah, no, I agree. And even on the flip side, you know, talking about, you know, ancient people seeing something shaped like a man moving through the forest in a way that they aren't capable of doing, you know, leads them to try to explain it. So it's like either way that you're going, you know, it's still, because I feel like half the people who would listen to this would find credibility in the spirituality and would find credibility in the scientific. I guess what I'm trying to say is they are not mutually exclusive.
Right. But you mentioned earlier that you thought you'd seen some support in your own travels and your own, you know, documenting of all of this, of some of these native ideas. I'm wondering, were you talking about, like, the ability to pass through underbrush? Is that something you've seen or surmised, at least, from your own experiences?
Our very first expedition out, when we went out to... we checked out the areas in the daylight and we returned to them at dark. And one particular area that I marked as wanting to return to because it has a specific energy field that was different that I hadn't sensed before. Mm-hmm. So we returned to that spot and it was just a really active hot spot that night. There had been rocks thrown at us that were coming down through the trees. And, you know, they're 50-cent piece to maybe a silver dollar size, but they were just being lobbed down and falling 3-4 feet in front of us and bouncing. I mean, quite a few of them, actually. And I didn't feel like they were trying to hit us with those rocks. I just felt like it was, you know, more playful and guiding us not to go that direction, perhaps. But at some point during that process of the evening, something started walking towards us, and it was a very large, it was bipedal movement, you know, one, it had 2 feet. And as it stepped, it was cracking big sticks and was very, very loud. And we had all kinds of cameras that could see in the dark. We had night vision cameras. We had thermal vision cameras. We had everything that you could think of to see into the dark, and we couldn't see anything there. Now, the trees were very large trees. They were very tall, but they weren't very wide. So anything of any size bigger than a bunny couldn't have been walking towards us without and stay hidden.
One second there. We're coming up on the commercial break. I don't want to have to hurry you through this story. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Jen and Jenna from the She Squatters. Come on back, and we'll finish it up.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck for you? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them when other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Renting Kia, inviting you to clean up with big savings during Renting Kia's spring cleanup sale.
Kia, America's best value gives you more, like America's best warranty and great gas mileage.
It's the 51 mile per gallon 2018 Kia Niro, highest ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017. You have got to drive this car.
And you'll clean up on a new 2018 Kia Optima, EPA rated 36 miles per gallon highway, lots of room for your friends and family, and a ride you're going to love.
The 2018 Kia Sorento, highest ranked midsize SUV in initial quality in 2017, is available now and at a great sale price.
And you'll really clean up with complimentary lifetime oil changes when you purchase your next vehicle at Redding Kia. So come on, take a test drive, make a great deal, and be happy at your Kia Superstore.
Redding Kia's spring cleanup sale on now. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. We both own Kias and we love them.
Redding Kia, Facebook, Instagram, reddingkia.com.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Back to Radio Wasteland and our guests, Jen and Jenna from the She
Squatchers. You were in the process of telling us a story when we went to commercial break. You were saying that it was coming towards you in the darkness, and you had, like, night vision and thermal vision, and I'll let you pick it up from
Nothing
there.
Nothing could see it, and the trees weren't wide enough for something of size to be walking towards us and still remain hidden behind those trees. And so, I mean, we're scanning the woods in that direction. We couldn't see anything. So finally, we took our super-duper flashlights that light up the entire woods, and we lit it up, and we still couldn't see anything there. And it is still moving towards us. It's very loud. It's getting closer and closer, and we don't think it's that far away at all. Now, I just stood there dumbfounded. How could it be invisible? We should be seeing something there. There's something moving. We can hear it. It's on all of our video recordings. It's on all of our digital recordings. You can clearly hear something is moving towards us, and that bipedal movement sounds very large. Why couldn't we see it? I couldn't explain that. The other part that, you know, the next day I went back out there, and in that very spot I felt called to walk in a certain direction. I felt like I had been put into a trance-like state, and this pathway was lighting up this golden light color, and something was calling my name in a sing-songy voice to walk this way. And when I finally snapped out of it, I kind of got scared by the idea that something's calling me to walk that way, and I don't know what it is. So I ran back to my car, pulled my car up as close as I could get to that pathway, to the line of sight of it where I could see it, and where I wanted to walk on that pathway. Underneath these sticks that were crossed in an X formation, a very large X, the pathway went right underneath that X and off into this other area of the woods where that sound had been coming from the night before. And when I took a bunch of pictures from my car, I opened up the window and started taking pictures because I felt like I was safe in my car, not being interfered with, because I felt like something was trying to lure me in there. And when I took the pictures, you could see that it looked there were complete circles within circles within circles, huge, in the forest right there, right where that sound had been coming from. And that is exactly where that path led right into the center of these circles. Now, if you look up on a Google search, if you look up the two words together, portal and petroglyph, and you do a search for images, you're going to come up with a bunch of rock carvings that look like circles within circles within circles, or a spiral. And this is what the Native American people had written. It was their written word for a portal, which is a shortcut between one physical place and another physical place. And supposedly, according to the Native American stories, this is how Bigfoot travels from one place to another, instantaneously physical travel from one place to another place, through the ground, through the earth. From one place to another, not like there's an actual tunnel there. It's like instantaneous travel. So all of these things start fitting together like pieces of a puzzle to me. And it was the most bizarre experiences like that. And that's not the first time that Bigfoot evidence has led us to circles within circles. We found a huge trackway of prints going up a very, very, very steep gravel pit hill that has been determined to be too steep for a human to walk up in that fashion. And it was too steep also for a bear to walk up the way that it had been, the prints were there. And, you know, people like James Bogle Fay, you know, the people from Finding Bigfoot, other Bigfoot hunters at conventions that we've been at have looked at the information that we found with that and thought that is way too steep for a human to have done that or for it to be a bear. So if, you know, we eliminate the other possibilities and whatever is remaining as a possibility, then that must be it. You know, it had very large feet. The smallest footprint was 18 inches long with five toes that were clearly defined, and this never put its hands down. At the top of that hill, the footprints disappeared, and it was all flattened out, and even the foliage that was growing up there, the weeds were flattened out, and leaving behind these perfect circles within circles within circles. At the top of this hill, there was no descending footprint. It was just bizarre. All of these things start fitting together and keep pointing back to the things that we've heard from the Native peoples.
So in your guys' group, are you guys kind of split with people who are leaning towards paranormal possibilities and sort of hard science?
I think we're all pretty open-minded. Two of us are part Native American out of the four. I'm not a tribal member, but our team member, Nikki Jordan, is actually a tribal member of a reservation. Mm. But my mom is a member of the same reservation. Even though Nikki is a tribal member, she is less connected to some of those stories than I am. You know, she is more of our science girl. She's a concrete proof type girl. And so that's very, very interesting that she's very much on the lookout for an unidentified species of primate, pretty much.
Well, definitely.
I'm more open to the other aspects, primarily because that's what I've experienced and that's what I've been finding.
Right.
It makes sense with the other research that we've been doing.
Well, TV shows would have us think that it was primarily focused in a scientific search. But what about the Bigfoot community? Do you feel that that is leaning one way or the other, or do you think most Bigfoot researchers are open to both? You know, what's your experience there?
I was at a Bigfoot event, and I was talking with people who were asking all kinds of questions. And as soon as I started sharing some of our experiences, they said, oh, you're woo. You're woo. And I was like, what? And they have this way of commenting either you're woo or you're not woo to the woo aspects of Bigfoot.
I guess
I wouldn't consider that.
That's kind
that
of condescending.
I thought so, too. Seems a little condescending to refer to them as woo Bigfooters.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not that I decided, oh, I'm going to be into the woo. It's that I've experienced things that were woo, that were falling into that category. So I think that once people are researching and looking for Bigfoot, and once they have an experience that they cannot explain any other way, then they start to become more open to what they would consider, others would consider the woo aspects of Bigfoot.
Right. Well, I think there's another angle of woo Bigfoot that maybe runs in conjunction, and that is there seems to be a growing sect of people who think that there is some sort of extraterrestrial aspect to Bigfoot. And at first when I heard this, I found it to be somewhat laughable at first when I heard it, you know, as is common when we hear things that sort of blow our minds a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then I thought about Star Wars. I'm like, sure, why not? You know, am I so stuck in the idea that a slight tip in human evolution, we all could have been very hairy. But, you know, we aren't. You know, so why not? I mean, So when you're out there and you're talking to other Bigfoot researchers, have you seen a growth in the sort of people kind of pushing the idea of the extraterrestrial Bigfoot?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, too, because we were contacted by MUFONs, members of North Dakota MUFON, who were going to attend an event that we were going to be at. They wanted to come and see what we had found. And I said, well, funny you should contact us. I have something in our footage that I can't identify, and maybe you'd like to look at it. So they did. And, you know, when they came to see us, I just gave them the mouse to my laptop and let them play with the video back and forth, back and forth, to see if they could identify what this was, and they really couldn't either. They were very intrigued by this, whatever it was. It was on the ground, whatever it was, and it appeared to be some type of a craft that had beings coming and going from it. But it was off in the distance behind the structure that we had found. And I was only looking at it for, you know, a few moments while Jenna was inside the structure that we had found. So I looked over beyond it and down a hill, kind of, and, you know, caught this through the trees. And it was very shiny and metallic, and it was a bizarre-looking thing. And I didn't completely grasp what I was seeing at the time because, again, I only looked at it for a few moments, and then Jenna was, Jen, look. And so I turned back to look at her again. And it all just happened so very, very fast. So a lot of the things that we find, we're really analyzing further in our footage after the fact. You know, so it's like, oh, I wish we could have gone back to that exact moment and looked at that a little bit more. Because when we returned, there was nothing there in that spot. So whatever it was that had been there is no longer there.
All right. Well, we're coming up on another commercial break. You're listening to Jen and Jenna of the She Squatchers here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Back, President of North State Security. Were you aware that North State Security has patrolled the streets of Reading for nearly 18,500 consecutive nights? The Pony Express has nothing on us. Through rain, sleet, snow, and blistering heat, North State Security has been the most prodigious private security agency in Northern California for 50 years. We are incredibly ecstatic, yet extraordinarily humbled by the realization of our 50th anniversary. With courage, determination, and a bountiful of integrity, my father founded this business with nothing more than an immense desire to succeed. North State Security, 50 years later, a formidable force in this region with approximately 130 licensed and properly trained security officers geared to handle any conceivable security-related need you have. Thank you to the entire North State community for making our remarkable history such a good story. North State Security, providing jobs, protecting assets. Call us at 243-0295.
Jastina Ranch, the planned community, brought to you by Palomar Builders in East Reading. Jastina Ranch is right off of Airport Road at the Shasta View entrance. It features a regional park with walking trails, fabulous open spaces, and so much more. With Phase 2 special offerings right now, including a beautiful corner lot with framing completed. With 4 bedrooms, 2 baths, 2 car garage, 1,850 square feet now offered at just $358,800. And over here, Lot 6, absolutely beautiful, including rear yard landscaping. It's a 4 bedroom, 2.5 bath, 3 car garage at 2,408 square feet now offered at $468,800. And it's move in ready. See more at ShastinaRanchReading.com. Come experience Shastina Ranch for yourself and find your new home. Contact Rhonda Culp of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 949-8613. Palomar Builders, building your memories.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. I have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're here with Jen and Jenna of the She Squatchers, and we're talking about what's up with Bigfoot. That's my scientific title for our show today. You know, I was just looking up a few things. I thought before the end of the show here we might hit on some of the scientific things that basically say, like, hey, Bigfoot might be a possibility. And out of curiosity, I was looking up how many acres of the United States alone is forest land. And it's 750 million acres, which, of course, makes perfect sense to all of us because we all know what an acre is and we all can grasp the number 750 million. But to put it in, make myself understand it a little better, the United States is about 2.3 billion acres large. So we're looking at about a third of the United States is forest land. And so I was a little shocked by that number, you know, because we're in the media constantly being hucked at this idea that there's no way Bigfoot could be out there because we totally would have seen it because people are everywhere. But obviously people are not everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, that is a lot of trees. So, you know, what do you think the likelihood is? You know, how big of a population do you think could be out there?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think anybody's asked me to estimate their population before. But I can tell you that in the state of Minnesota, northern Minnesota, I think that they are quite thick in the wooded areas.
Really?
I think that they are quite thick, yes. I think a lot of times people can walk right by them and never even notice them.
Well, what we know scientifically is we would have to have a reasonable population or we would have some seriously inbred Bigfoots.
Which would also be a good name for a rock band.
Seriously inbred Bigfoots, yeah. Yeah, that might be. I might have to start touring
Bigfoot
conventions.
Or at least just a passable band, but I'm derailing us here.
It's more of an opening act, but whatever. You know, but you know, we would have to have populations in the hundreds, you know, with each location, don't you think?
I believe that there's at least that many up there. I think probably a whole lot more than that. A whole lot more.
Yeah,
a whole lot more.
Another thing that kind of is really interesting to me that sort of adds credence to it is the diversity of, you know, throughout the world and throughout the United States alone of the creatures. You know, they're all generally the same, and people sit there going like, well, why are they all different and so on and so forth. But I think isolated populations and, not to be insulting, but probably inbreeding, and I'm coming from a scientific level, would cause them to look quite different from different parts of the world. I mean, look at humans alone. You know, everybody gets caught up on race and stuff like that. But, I mean, my dad's boyfriend was from Switzerland, and, you know, I met a bunch of other people from Switzerland. They all look kind of similar. You know, they have similar bone structures just straight down to their isolated population that was around for years. And, we're not even talking about race. We're talking about isolated populations of people. So I personally find the diversity in the appearance of Bigfoot to add credibility, not to take it away. What do you think?
I think it's possible that there are different species or, adaptations of what we consider to be Bigfoot. If you look at just wolves in general, that all dogs are actually coming from the gray wolf. If you look at their mitochondrial DNA, all dogs come up as gray wolf. And even the chihuahua, I mean,
right.
You look at a chihuahua and a poodle and a great Dane, and you think all of this is the same thing as a gray wolf, and it all happened in relatively a small period of time. So I think that the variations that we're seeing in the Bigfoot, in Bigfoot sightings and what they look like isn't very great. They all relatively look kind of the same if you consider how vastly different dogs have become over time. I mean, Bigfoot hasn't changed a whole lot then across the different areas. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at that. But I also noticed, like, in Minnesota area, we always talk about Minnesota nice, and that, I always say that extends to our Bigfoot, too, because they seem to be really nice. In comparison to some of the stories that we hear from, like, the southern states where we have a more aggressive Bigfoot stories coming in. And I always ask, why are they being aggressive? You know, are they being encroached upon? Are they doing something to insult the Bigfoot? I mean, why are they being like that? Are they just like that all the time?
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Well, I think we can confidently say that they're being encroached upon on a regular basis.
Because we encroach on everything.
Right.
Everywhere.
So, you know, we're not too far from the end of the show here. What's next for you two?
Well, like I said, I actually was in featured in the film Cultured Bigfoot. It's a new Bigfoot documentary by Bilko Productions. I'm heading out to the premiere of that this week on March 17th in Norton, Virginia. We're doing the first theatrical public premiere of that. So I'll be attending that and taking the stage after to answer some Bigfoot questions for the audience. And on this trip, I'm going to be going to Ohio, and I'm going to be going to ancient native sacred places looking for those clues that they've left behind about Bigfoot. And I'm also going to do some squatching with some other teams out there in Ohio and in Virginia. So I'm totally excited to go check out some other Bigfoot areas that are known hotspots. That's really fun for us when we get to go with other Bigfoot researchers who have identified a hotspot, so we don't have to go looking for the location. We just go there and do our thing and have our experiences. And they want to kind of take in the psychic aspect because, you know, we come in it as intuitive psychic people and seeing if we can pick up on any clues that they're not catching up on. So that's what we have planned for this week.
Well,
we're really excited to go out there.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. And I got to throw this out every time I hear the term. I can't help but to giggle every time I hear the term squatching. It just, it's so funny to me. I love it. I want it on a shirt. I want it on a hat. It's the best sales pitch squatching has is the term squatching. So before we're at the end of the show here, also maybe you can tell our audience where they can find out more about you.
Awesome. Yes, you can find us at shesquatchers.com or on facebook.com/shesquatchersofficial. SheSquatchers Official is also how you can find our YouTube channel, so please do check us out there. We do upload our many videos on occasion when we get to it, but we have so many to do. You can just keep a lookout for those. And I'll encourage people to look at those videos and pause and look and pause and look because you just might see something in there.
Well, we really enjoy having you guys on. You guys are a lot of fun. You're very nice to talk to, and I really appreciate you guys being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. All right. You've been listening to Jen and Jenna from the She Squatchers here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back next week. Been hanging around today.
this show.